Welcome to The Bible Tells Me So, a program sponsored by Starting With Jesus. I'm Miss Katie, your host today, and we have Micah to read our questions. Pastor Jonathan is going to help us find the answers in our Bible, and Aiden will read the Bible verse for us. Do you have your Bible ready? If you don't, you might want to go and get it so we can find and read the answers together. Let's go ahead and get started. Our question today is from Aiden. Aiden is 6 years old, and he sent us this question. Micah, can you read this question for us?
What does God look like?
This is a really good question, because sometimes there's people that we've never met, and maybe a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle that you've never met before, but you've heard your mom and dad talk about them, and you might have asked them, what does this person look like? And if they're not around, what's the best way that your mom or dad can help you know what they look like? What do we use today? We use pictures. But we have a picture of what God looks like given to us in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9.
Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Okay, guys, grab your Bibles. Let's open up to the book of Daniel. That's in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 7, those are the big numbers, and then verse 9, those are the little numbers underneath. Now, for the question and answer, we're going to go a little faster looking up these Bible verses, but if you need some more time, that's okay. Just press pause, and when you're ready, you can press play again when you're ready. Okay, so we're going to go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Aiden is going to read that for us.
I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and his hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire.
This is one of the only descriptions that we have of what our Heavenly Father looks like. He wears a white robe, and his hair is white. But beyond that, we don't know what he looks like. In fact, did you know that right now we can't even see God's face without dying?
Wait, so you're saying that if we were to see God's face, we would die?
Yes.
Whoa.
All of us have sinned, and God is a holy God. If he were to show up right now, we'd be burned up. We'd disappear.
Oh. That wouldn't be good.
And be destroyed. But that won't always be the case. And there's another scripture that I'd like to share with you.
You mean there's still a chance that we can see God?
Absolutely.
Ooh, okay.
1 John chapter 3 and verse 2.
1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Okay, so this isn't John like one of the Gospels, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. This is 1 John. So look in the back of your Bible, kind of toward Revelation. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. Okay, so right at the back, 1st John, not 2nd John, not 3rd John, chapter 3, verse 2. 1st John, chapter 3, verse 2. Aiden will read this one for us.
Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
So one day, we will be able to see God as he is because we will be like him. That's why it's so important to start your day with Jesus, because that's how you become more like him, and that's how you'll get to see him one day.
I'm looking forward to seeing God face to face. That's pretty exciting. All right. Well, thank you so, so much, Aiden, for that question. It was a good one. It's something that's important because, I mean, if God's our friend, we want to know what he looks like, right? If you have a question that you want answered, go ahead and send them to us at SeedPod at StartingWithJesus.com, and we can let you know when your question will be on our program. We are so glad that you've joined us today, and we want to remind you to start each and every day with Jesus.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising Him. Have you ever participated in a trust fall? You have some people behind you and you face away from them. Usually you're standing on something, so you're a little taller. Then you fall backwards, trusting them to catch you. It's not easy. In fact, it can be very scary. But you know what? There is such a feeling of exhilaration because you trusted and they caught you. The same is with Jesus. He wants you to trust Him. He will catch you. You can rely on Him and you can trust Him. Boys and girls, welcome back. I'm excited that we are going to continue studying about the disciples and how they were about to meet up with Jesus. Let's pray and ask Jesus' Spirit to be with us, okay? Dear Lord, please send your Spirit to help us to understand, to learn more, and to put aside the distractions in our lives for a few minutes while we learn more about you. Thank you. Amen. I grew up in California near a big lake called Folsom Lake. It's in the Sacramento Valley. This lake has very special memories for me. We went boating on this lake. We went swimming in the lake. We rode our horses along the lake. We would go and we would find driftwood and we would play on the driftwood and swim after my dad got home from work. We grew up around this lake, and even now I enjoy, when I go back to my parents' house to visit, I enjoy taking my kids to this lake. I have special memories, and when I drive by certain areas, I remember the time when we found the snake there, or when my horse didn't want to cross the stream. When I go back, I remember and think about previous experiences that I have had there from my many years going to that lake. I think that's kind of how the seven disciples were feeling when they went to the Sea of Galilee to meet Jesus. When they got there, they thought of the many times they had been there with Jesus. There on the grassy hillside, Jesus had talked to thousands of people. He had healed many of them. They remembered how Jesus had fed more than 5,000 people from just, guess how many? 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciples remembered the night when Jesus had been asleep on the boat on that lake, and a terrible storm had come up so suddenly. They had been sure that they would all drown. Do you remember that story? But then what did Jesus do? He stood up. He spoke a word. The wind, the thunder, the lightning, the waves, it all stopped. It was quiet. They remembered another storm when Jesus had walked on the water. And at that moment, Jesus had stepped into their boat. The storm had stopped. Who else had walked on the water that night? Do you remember? What was his name? Peter did. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out." And Jesus said, "Come." So he stepped over the boat and he started walking out to Jesus. But then what happened? He started to sink. Why did he start to sink? Oh, it was because he took his eyes off of Jesus. He thought he could do it all on his own. You know, there's a saying, he's going on a walk down memory lane. And you know what that means? It means that a person or somebody is remembering all the different experiences that they had. They're going for a walk down memory lane. They're thinking back about all of those experiences. I kind of think that this is how it was for the disciples. They were going on a walk down memory lane. They looked around at those hillsides. They looked at the boats bobbing on the water. They looked at the other fishermen who were catching fish. Maybe they remembered when Jesus had called them to not catch fish, but to catch men. They are different people. They have been through the last 3 years and the last week of losing Jesus and then having him back again. They were in a different place. They were looking at things with new eyes. While the disciples were waiting for Jesus, Peter had an idea. Leave it to Peter, right? He was like, "Hey, guys, I have an idea. We need some money for food and clothes, and we're kind of waiting around for Jesus, and he's not here yet. I'm going to go fishing." The others said, "Oh, that's a good idea. We'll go with you. We'll help." They figured that selling a boatload of fish would bring them enough money to buy some clothes and food that they needed. Now, when is the best time to catch fish? Have you ever been fishing? I've been fishing. I've never fished with a net. I haven't done that before. But I have gone fishing with a pole and a hook. In fact, my aunt and uncle used to live in upstate New York on a river. And those were my first memories of catching fish. We would take a fishing line and we would tie on a little hook. We'd go dig around in their yard and flip over stones, finding worms. And that was the worst part, was putting the worm on the hook. I just felt awful as you try to get that worm to stay on the hook. And then you drop it in the water, and they had little sunfish that would swim around and nibble at the worm. And sometimes they would get caught on the hook, but other times they would just eat the worm off. I remember that. Now, is fishing something that's really easy to do, or is it something that takes a lot of patience? It takes patience, doesn't it? Well, when you're fishing with a net, at least in the Sea of Galilee, the best time to catch fish was at night. Do you know why? Because then the fish couldn't see the net. So they would go and they would put the net in and then wait a while for the fish to kind of swim around, and then they would close up the net and pull the net in, and hopefully they would have fish, right? Well, it was dark and the disciples had the boat and they were ready. Here they go. They're excited. We're going to fish. We haven't done this for a while. You know what the disciples didn't know? Was that Jesus was lovingly watching them. Does he lovingly watch you and me? Yes, he does. He loves us and he cares for us. Now, I want you to look up Psalm 121. Psalm is in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 121. Psalm is right in the middle of the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Okay? So we're going to look up Psalm 121. Verses 1 through 4. Let's see what Jesus has promised us. Okay? Psalm 121, verse 1 through 4. If you need more time, just pause this recording and then press play.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
Jesus always watches over us. He's there for us. He lovingly cares for us, just like he lovingly watched over the disciples. We're going to find out next time what happened. Did the disciples have success or not? We're going to find out next time. So what I want you to do is bow your heads with me, and we're going to pray and thank Jesus for being there for us, for lovingly looking out for us, okay? Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you have promised to help us, that you have made the heaven and the earth, and you will not allow our feet to be moved. You do not sleep. You don't slumber. You take care of us. Thank you for that promise. Help us to trust and rely on you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We have our memory verse song. Are you ready for it? It's from 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. That's who God is. He is love, and he loves you.
First John 4:16. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him.
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.